testing because
We talked about that a little bit last week.
Yeah, when you look either side of the ledger, it doesn't matter whether it's a plus side or a minus side, interest is interest. You're either saving it or you're making it.
That won't be a finance board decision, but the finance board can make recommendations to board if they'd like. We're incorporating all this in budget season because we've got cash available, so we can go ahead and hand that out.
Yeah, and I'll give this out to y'all. There's a couple things I'm still clarifying. I've gone through and I've updated all the different pieces of debt that we have with the interest. Some of them I'm still, like I said, I'm still clarifying if there's prepayment penalties, if we can pay it off. If so, what are the parameters? What are the penalties if we were to do that? But if everyone can give this back after, like I said, because I want to just finalize some of it here a little bit more.
So the green ones are the ones you think are
the green.
That's payoff year.
The green ones are basically payoff years. Now some of the yellow ones. Yeah. I'll just try to slide that over you, Gloria. So it's broken down. So on the first page, you have enterprise funds. Those are basically FUSD and sewer, not necessarily supported by, are not necessarily county general funds type
those
of debt.
Basically user supported.
Yes.
Okay.
After that, then you could get to the blue line, and you've got all debt that's kind of county supported debt. It's pretty much on here kind of by when the debt was taken out for the most part. And then you get to the second page and you get to capital leases. And as you know, capital leases are not debt per se, but for our purposes, it's a long-term obligation that the county has.
And it counts in the tax rate. So
correct.
Prepaying those would allow cushion underneath the existing tax rate for other things if there were other expenses.
So if we go back to the first page, we can just start at the blue one first. There's some of them I'm still verifying, especially some of the older ones, because some of the documents going back to 1996 are not as clear and readily available to pull everything together. So if you want to start at where it says Blue County, you can kind of see, and I should have highlighted that because I'm still trying to verify if there's a prepayment penalty for the literary loan. You go to the next item, Central Elementary, VPSA 1995. We just paid that off this year. That's done. The next one also, I'm verifying if there's a prepayment penalty.
You have no.
Yeah, and I have it highlighted in yellow because that's something that I just need to go back and I need to go back and verify.
So as an example on that one, if there is no prepayment penalty, and because the interest rate's around 5, paying that off would create a $50,000 credit underneath our existing tax rate. So when we're working on fiscal year 17 budget, it would be $50,000 less in debt, but it would come straight out of fund balance now. So it would be $50,000 that we're not getting any interest on, paying off a 5% loan and then creating some cap under the next year's budget.
If you look at the next one, the refunding Central VPSA 1998 series, under that one, the average true interest rate was 4.57%, and currently there's no prepayment penalty, and you can see it's for fiscal year 17, it'd be a $200,000 principal payoff, which equates to about $60,000 a year in debt service.
The bottom line is, if we recommended and the board approved paying that off, the net advantage to the taxpayers is they would save $150,000 to $200,000 in interest.
Correct. Well, no, for the refunding, no. So if you see...
It's $10,000 in interest potentially.
If we paid it off today at $200,000...
So that's the principal. So the principal's $50,000 a year, and then the interest is...
Got it. I was on the wrong line.
On the tax rate.
What's that?
In budget season, we gain $100,000.
You'd have $110,000 non-debt payment required, so it creates that much cap. With that cap room,
right?
But again, both of those are
where'd you say 100?
Well, 50,000 plus the 60,000, so it'd be 110.
You're talking about those two.
Cumulative.
Yes,
because that's per year.
Yes, correct.
You know, right, although they're going to be the first one's going to be paid off next year anyway. So perpetually, you'd have the 50, you'd just have it a year earlier if you paid it out this year out of fund balance.
I think one of the big ones to really look at is the 2005A, where it's the principal amount is $3.4 million. Now, as you see, if we were to pay that one off, you could possibly realize about $500,000 in annual debt service savings. It's 481, and it kind of goes down proportionally from there. But the one thing you got to think about with that is there are prepayment penalties, you know, depending upon when you pay it off. If we were to pay it off within like the next 6 months, it's a 1% on the principal balance. If you were to wait until after July 15th of into next fiscal year, it's a 0.5%. So at a 0.5%, it would basically be about, I think, $17,000 would be the penalty on that, on basically around $3.5 million. A lot of the debt that we have, it's either new and it's very low interest debt, or we've refunded it and it's something that we just really can't touch. I mean, pretty much when you get on to page two, for the most part, that's pretty much all that debt is new debt or refunded debt that we can't touch for at least, you know, probably about 5 years.
And that's where we've moved to get the interest rate much lower.
Yes. You know, a lot of the average interest costs on that are, you know, roughly right in the mid 2% range on everything on page two. I'm waiting to just verify on the stuff for the VRA, but we just did the refunding on those, so the interest rates are low, and I'm sure there's a prepayment penalty, and I'm just not sure what year it comes out, and I haven't had a chance to look at that one. The VPSA debt is very clear and concise on how they formulate their prepayments and the way it's listed. Some of the others are a little more in depth.
So the they're also really low too, low interest.
Well, we got one here on the first page that's 5.95.
That's a high mark, but that's the original high school debt. The original 2008 bonds, those have been refunded. So there's money sitting in an escrow account that we can't do anything with. And in 2019, the money in the escrow account will pay that off.
Got it. Okay, so it was like we prepaid it.
Yeah, we basically prepaid interest. We refunded it to get a lower rate on that. So we've had to set aside money in escrow until it comes callable.
So that's not an additional. Is that an additional payment every year or not?
No, it's not an additional. No.
Okay, so
if you look at the 2008 here, and if you put that one up against, let me see here. If you go down to the, and I'll try and have these numbered for next time. If you go above capital leases, two above capital leases.
Mm-hmm. 2012.
Yeah, you can see, so if you go to you can see in fiscal year 19 that.
Jumps higher.
Yeah, it's 2.9, then it goes to 4.8. Well, that's because the 2008 original kind of rolls up into that.
Got it right here.
Yeah, looking from.
This one. That's where that other 1.9 goes to.
Page. Yeah, if you slide that.
Over to 2021.
Yeah, look right there, and you look right there. If you take the sum of those two,
picked up in 2020.
Then it goes up 20. To there, and then we have no debt up here.
Got it. Okay.
So that's how the refunded piece rolled into
that. So that's got a substantial prepayment penalty.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's, like I said, a lot of this stuff, some of this VPSA stuff, I mean, some of the stuff that was just done in 2012, you can't touch it until 2022.
But even though this looks like it's a 1.9 million increase, it's really staying the same.
It is.
Between the two of them.
Yeah, between the two of them, it's going away.
Essentially, you've got $5 million a year in school debt.
Yeah.
Till 2036.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, really, at the end of the day, I think some of the pieces you could really look at are some of the capital leases. I mean, granted, they're smaller. You could look at some of those. And really, the first two capital leases, I mean, the ones, the VRA, we wouldn't necessarily, well, one, we couldn't do anything with that because I know we're not within the time where we could do a prepayment on those. But some of the older fire trucks we could if we wanted to. But then you really get into back to the page one of like some of the original county VPSA stuff. Something could happen with that. But the biggest one is the $3.4 million. That's the biggest one that would have any type of...
And that's the 2005?
2005, correct.
But remember, one of the things we're trying to do is we're trying to free up $1 million in tax rate cap, because in 2018, fiscal year 18, we have to start paying the Motorola lease for the radio project, and that's $1 million a year for 7 years. So essentially 4 cents. So what we're trying to do is trying to find, as one alternative, trying to find enough debt to pay off that would be low debt, because the Motorola lease debt, then we could just pay, because it's only 2.7 or 2.6%, and it's paid off after 7 years, but it takes 4 cents to pay it off, essentially, each year. So you've got, for the finance board's information, you've got about $9.6 million in, I'll call it green cash.
9.4.
Okay, 9.4 million in green cash. We've got a baseline of 7.7 million, about 8 million we have to keep based on our county policies. We want 12% of our operating budget, essentially 12% set aside of a certain portion of our operating budget. Then you've got cash, we call it green cash because I use a red, yellow, and green. The yellow is additional cash, but they're already obligated for CIP projects. So in that center part, that green, you've got about $9.4 million. Now, the three things to keep in mind, forget anything else that might happen, the three things you got to keep in mind for sure right today is the Motorola lease, fiscal year 18, the potential for a JRWA debt service payment, although that is already built into the budget. It's already budgeted for. And the potential for a Zion Crossroads, well, it's only 40K or 50K off.
Yeah.
We've got it in next year's budget without any problem. But, and then the Zion Crossroads number, right now running at about 460,000. That's in next year's budget, 17. But so you've got a million, and I said half a million. So you've got a million and a half that you have to find someplace to cover. Either pay it out of debt, I mean, pay it out of cash so you don't have debt, or pay off other debt and then down payment some towards that just to bring the payments down on it. There's about 20 million permutations here, but you got to keep those three things in mind: the Motorola project, the JRWA project, and the Zion Crossroads project.
So the analysis then would come from what would be the cost of the new debt versus the old debt.
Yeah, and right now we're running at, we're estimating at 4.45% for 30 years for the two infrastructure projects. But we'll get our financial advisor from JRWA to tell us what the numbers are going to be for JRWA pretty soon, depending on what our board does. Secondly, we'll get our county financial advisor to look at all our debt options and know about the potential ones coming up and give us some recommendations on what possibilities there are. Now, we'll try to have at least an idea of that before your offsite on January 23rd, because we're going to be feeding you lots of financial stuff before that meeting, because the morning in that meeting is going to really talking about dollars and projects.
Okay. So a lot of the big considerations is it worthwhile to pay off debt that's at whatever interest rate it's at, or partial payoff debt, pay partial cash for other projects, or don't pay cash for any projects and just pay off all debt, or I mean, there's about a gazillion different.
Yeah, and there's a story to be had that says, you know, if you're going to finance an infrastructure project, why pay cash for it when the costs of the infrastructure project are supposed to be built into the rate schedule and it's supposed to be kind of a cost neutral? I mean, it's supposed to be neutral because a public utility project is not supposed to be a cash cow. It's supposed to break even. And so you would adjust your rates and your depreciation such that you would build those costs into your rate schedule. Now, that's really hard to do on the very front end of a project where you don't have a lot of people hooked up. But but that's what you're working toward. You're going to run into a deficit on utility projects for the first, you know, 5 or 8 years, probably at a minimum.
Yeah, it took Goochland almost 20.
Yeah, and Louisa County is still running at a deficit on Zion Crossroads, but they are getting $7 million in tax revenue. The problem is it's not tax revenue directly to the water authority.
It's an ancillary effect.
Right. It's to the county coffers, and so that means that, you know, you either have to run a deficit in your water authority or you've got to augment it from outside, which would be from the county. But the problem is there's just so many permutations here, and it depends on what the board wants to do with the budget this year. But you got to plan for those three big rock things coming up, regardless of what else is coming up. You got to at least build those.
And is that outside the purview of us?
Yes. The finance board is essentially an investment
recommendations.
Board. Well, they're not even that.
More
the finance board is essentially an investment board based on state code. So while you can look at this, because you may want to pay something off and then invest more money here, and you can make recommendations to the board, you can't direct any payoffs or anything. You can just direct investments. And the only time you can direct investments is when it's within state code, and you can do it regardless of what the treasurer wants, as long as it's within state code that she can accommodate. But you need to make it a three-legged stool, and all three of you decide if whenever possible. But debt is not your purview. Investments are.
So we don't have much of a job today.
No, but I think the number one thing that has to happen is you've got to start seeing a report from the treasurer on all accounts and a continuous run, and that's got to come forward every month before your meeting, along with the agenda, so that then you can have some idea of what you want to do or direct. And then, once that's been going for a month or two, you may decide to only meet quarterly.
Yeah, so what will wind up happening with BIP, Mike, mm-hmm. is as the market moves into a higher interest rate environment, we're going to start seeing higher returns on BIP.
A lot.
Yeah, substantially. Because a lot of the debt is short-term debt right now that we're invested in. And we're going to the managers are going to roll out of that debt and into new debt that has a higher payback on it. So, you know, where we're getting 0.75 now, you know, it's entirely possible that by this time next year we could be at 2.75.
I'm hoping not, because that'll affect our other bonds for any other projects. But
it will. But
if we have the ability to get all this infrastructure rolling that we're talking about, hopefully, as far as major projects, we can take a break for a while.
Yeah. Well, the only other one that we're gonna hammer hard this year and talk about a lot is, and this is really outside the purview of finance board, but what do you do when you've got the school administration building?
I knew what you were
talking about.
Treasurer's
office, registrar's office, public works office, Commonwealth's attorney's office, at a minimum those old structures that are going to require money. In the CIP for this year, the school board's asking for $1.5 million for a new roof for the Palmyra school.
That's their whole renovation.
Oh,
The 1.8, the 1.8 for the school board offices is a complete renovation.
Oh, that's right. Separate, they had another dollar.
Plus another about $180 for a roof.
Yeah. And do we really want to spend what we think is about $1 million or a little more on the treasurer's building, treasurer commissioner's building? $1 million, $1.5 million, $1.8 million on the Commonwealth attorney. I mean, the school board building. If you go to the basement of the registrar's office and the public works office, those are soil basements. I mean,
yeah, the chamber's the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah, old live real, no kidding. You know, earthen basements, and there are some problems with that from a habitability point of view in a public building, because you have to follow, you know, state and federal guidelines. Plus, they're old. So we're really gonna have to figure out when's the diminishing returns coming. If you spend, let's say you build an $8 million building, an $8 million building is about $500,000 a year, but it'd be exponentially more energy efficient and consolidated work, and so the citizens don't have to go from building to building to building, and you share a a big auditorium for school board and for board of supervisors and planning commission, things like that. But that's something the board's really going to have to look at hard. But Wayne's going to try to run, you know, numbers in all these buildings. But even just looking at what we're asking for this year to maintain buildings, if we keep doing that, after 2 or 3 years, you've already spent the cost of the building. Mm-hmm. So, and I know there's nobody who wants to take on more debt, but this has been talked about since 1998. Sooner or later, we're going to have to figure out what the best solution is.
Is it cost efficient to keep doing what we're doing, or just to get bite the
bullet? Eventually, the roof will fall down.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you have a catastrophic loss of a building, like if the back wall of the Commonwealth Attorney's falls off,
which could possibly do,
which could, then you got to find space for somebody else, and you either squish in or you rent space or whatever. But in any case, the classic example is we're spending $160,000 for just a roof upgrade at
Community Center.
It's one. I think it's like 120, 130.
Okay, so but that's, you know, that's the Band-Aid patch on the front. The school's asking for 90,000 this year.
Well, they just did 90 for something, and then in the CIP.
And now they're asking for another 180.
Another 180.
Plus the 1.5 million for a building renovation. Now, anybody's been in the building, the only good part of that building is the auditorium. I mean, you can't even go to the bathroom without freezing because there's no heat or
at the school board.
Mm-hmm. In the school board office. But there's going to be more maintenance requirements for those things. So it's a conundrum. We got to decide when to pull the trigger here. But anyway.
Pay me now.
The good thing is you got, for the first time in a long time, we've got, you know, 9.4 million. You got some cash that allows you to have multiple different permutations and see what's best for the county. But, you know, that's 9.4 today. As soon as CIP comes.
Is that including all that we were going to get back, we were talking about, we would get back from the different parts of the county government?
Yeah, that includes, because we had a lot
we
of
we got
access.
Back a $500,000 from school.
Oh, yeah.
Right,
And we talked about it.
Right. There's some excess.
County.
Yeah, there's public service utilities is about $500,000 up in revenues.
Is that does that include that?
Mm-hmm. But again, at least there is some flexibility to make decisions on what to do with dollars and how. But in any case, the board's got to decide what they want to do, you know, 5 years from now. Do you start building the building 3 years from now and plan for it and stop, accept all maintenance except for, you know, emergency maintenance?
Right.
Or and see, and we'll run reports on what we spent in maintenance the last 3 or 4 years. It won't be insignificant.
Well,
now this building, though, because it's being renovated now, that money was appropriated 4 or 5 years ago. I think the year you got here. Mm-hmm. This building would be retained because the Commonwealth's attorney, victim witness, the court services, sheriff's, the bailiffs, and stuff. All of that would move into this building. Because all the court stuff would be right adjacent to the court, then it would be stay here in this complex.
Mm-hmm. And he needs to be next to the court.
Yeah, he was going to move into there. So if we ended up moving out eventually, he'd move into my space. He'd just drop on the county administrator spaces and the spaces next door for Couchin. And then you'd put the victim, not the victim witness, the court services folks, the parole folks, the bailiffs. You know, any overflow from the sheriff's office, because sheriff's always looking for space rather than trying to add onto their building, they can put, you know, their investigations branch over here or things like that too. But that's what this building would be maintained for.
I think one thing from this board's perspective, depending upon what the board of supervisors decides to do with projects and the $9.4 million will really have an effect on what this board does. Because right now we've got $5 million in VIP, we've got $1 million in LGIP, we have $1 million in BB&T, and then the general fund probably has like $12-13 million in it right about now. So I mean, you know, we're looking at $17-18 million right now that the county has in funds, and we've got about $5 million of it invested in VIP, and then another
$2 million. What's the max we need month to month? Wasn't it about $8 million? I mean, the maximum we ever spent in a month was about $8 or $9 million.
Yep.
So that's another thing. It's a $12 million there. Maybe we want to take it down to $10 million. If our max has ever been $9 million, then maybe $10 million in that, and everything else could go into some more aggressive.
Well, how long does it take us to get it out of it?
It's usually every 15 days, right. You can, within a month, you can take money out.
The biggest thing is that it increases the workload on the treasurer's office because they have to manage to a daily balance more than just having this huge bucket of money that they just pay out of. So, but there's some extreme benefit to the citizens to having all of that money working for them as opposed to
gaining interest, just laying
right. fallow.
2% of 15 million or 12 million.
But I mean, it changes the workflow.
It will require a change of workflow for sure.
It changes the workflow.
But that's part of what the office requirements are. So
I can't do the second Tuesday in February or second Monday in February. I have a commitment in Richmond that I can't get out.
We'll let Kelly do a doodle poll.
Okay.
Just click on it. Tell which days and stuff times are. If you don't have it, we'll pull it up.
Okay.
Because it just sends you an email. You click on it, and then it gives you days and times, and you check the boxes you're available. And Mr. Sheridan, for your work schedule, what's best for you? Day of the week and time of the day.
I can make it work whenever I need to be here. I mean,
well, that's hopefully we'll be able to get to quarterly meetings where you're not going to have to do it so often. But
right. Anything before 3:30. If I can be out of here by 3:30.
Okay. Well, so 2 o'clock may still work. But
I mean,
because
I can get somebody to cover my class. I can't get somebody to cover a practice.
Yeah. Right.
So if as long as I'm out of here by 3:30, I'm okay.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm all a lot of favors, but it's all right.
Yeah. But if we just get over this hump and get the reports, and then you can watch those, then that can come out just as a monthly report to the book to the finance board.
And then go January
and then
maybe April.
It'll go quarterly, right? Yeah.
So.
And might be able to do them.
Before the 22nd in February.
Okay. So because there's a finance board constituted. Does the board have to come up with a policy that allows the treasurer to draw down from the investments as needed?
No.
Okay.
The treasurer makes those decisions, and the finance board can make those decisions legally by code.
Okay.
So you're
in absence of guidance, she's supposed to do what she's supposed to do.
There's state law that covers what the treasurer essentially can't do. You know, things that the treasurer can't do. But anything that's legal, she can do on her own, and or you all can direct. And so Ms. Leonard will just have to tell you if there's something, you know, if you're directing something or want to try this or try that, she'll just have to tell you whether it's legal or not legal. And as long as it's legal, then you can direct it. But again, workflow changes will necessitate, you know, some workflow changes, and that's a little... A little harder.
So what day are we going to try to meet in February?
We'll send you a doodle poll with the dates.
Okay.
What any specific dates you guys are looking at now that are really bad?
The 8th.
Okay.
I could do the following Monday.
Okay, so let's tentatively plan on the 15th.
15th, be fine with me.
Okay. So we'll send it out, but we'll tentatively plan on 2 o'clock on the 15th of February.
And Gloria, that should give you guys enough time to actually get the reports in.
Through the end of the calendar year, for sure, you should be able to get 12 months of reports. So.
Okay. Man, I've even learned how things are.
You got a smartphone that you're smarter than now?
No. Absolutely not. I will not tell that lie to Judy.
Thank you, Michelle.
How's Elvira? Thank you very much. When we had women's beauty contest. Anything else?
Let's do the motion. The motion to adjourn.
Second. Aye.
Aye.
Adjourn. And.